Today, the SBC and the Assemblies of God are Washington power brokers, and much of the U.S. scientific community is up in arms. In 2001, when the National Academy of Sciences presented the new president with a study laying out the perils of global warming, he paid no attention. The administration's preferred HIV treatment, abstinence-only sexual education, has been identified as medically unsound by the National Institutes of Health, the American Medical Association, and the American Academy of Pediatrics. Hearings by a Food and Drug Administration panel on a pregnancy pill snubbed the 45,000-member American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists in order to hear from the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, with one-tenth the membership. The examples in this vein are many. Michael Mangiello, a leader of the Coalition for the Advancement of Medical Research, backers of stem cell research, told an interviewer that at a major hearing, the prestige gap between our scientists and their scientists was overwhelming. But religious forces had the president's ear. In late 2003, when the Grand Canyon bookstore began selling a creationist interpretation of the canyon's origin, seven National Geological Organizations wrote to caution the National Park Service against giving the impression that it approves of the anti-science movement known as Young Earth Creationism or endorses the advancement of religious tenets as science. Against the recommendation of the Park Service's senior geologist, the book remained on sale. In a 2003 controversy over Bush administration pressure on the Environmental Protection Agency, Russell Train, its director under Republican Presidents Nixon and Ford, wrote, "I can state categorically that there was never such White House intrusion into the business of the EPA during my tenure." The 2004 election year saw the issuance of a statement on restoring scientific integrity in policymaking by 62 preeminent scientists, including Nobel laureates and former advisors to administrations of both parties, which charged the administration with widespread and unprecedented manipulation of the process through which science enters into its decisions. As an adjunct, the Union of Concerned Scientists released detailed documentation of alleged suppression and distortion of scientific findings and manipulation of the government's scientific advisory system. Observers noted that the credentials or motivations of Bush's allies were often religious. The New York Times observed that David W. Hager, then one of Bush's nominees to the influential Food and Drug Administration panel on women's health policy, had a resume more impressive for theology than gynecology. Former Republican Senator John Danforth of Missouri commented that the only explanation for legislators comparing cells in a petri dish to babies in a womb is the extension of religious doctrine into statutory law. In Texas, where the cotton industry is plagued by a moth that has evolved an immunity to pesticides, a frustrated entomologist commented that it's amazing that cotton growers are having to deal with these pests in the very states whose legislatures are so hostile to the theory of evolution. Because it is evolution they are struggling against in their fields every season. These people are trying to ban the teaching of evolution while their own cotton crops are failing because of evolution. Opponents of evolution, successful so far in parts of the South, are indeed busy trying to ban the teaching of it and textbooks that support it in many northern conservative or politically divided areas, including large states such as Michigan, Missouri, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. However, the latest effort is more than a replay of the Scopes confrontation. Creationism now shares its educational stage with a slick city cousin, so-called intelligent design, hypothesizing simply that some intelligence produced the universe. The latter is a tactical response to a major court case in 1987, Edwards versus Aguillard, which found that creationism promoted a religious viewpoint, not a scholarly one. Intelligent design, seeking classroom acceptability, has kept vague enough about its religious motivations to avoid the Edwards yardstick, but its lack of serious science is a significant handicap. Some of its founders also have ties to Christian Reconstructionism. Still, public opinion is certainly open to the theory of intelligent design, so the battle is far from over. Meanwhile, the bigger message, depressingly reminiscent of our imperial predecessors, is that science in the United States is already in trouble. Money is draining out, with dire consequences. Intel Chairman Andrew Grove says critical scientific infrastructure spending is being neglected, and the premier research universities are losing their edge. Susan Hockfield, the president of MIT, says, "We're falling behind. We're not keeping up with other countries. The science and math scores for our high school graduates are disastrous. We are underfunding research in the physical sciences and lagging seriously on publications in these sciences." Stanford professor Irving Weissman, a stem cell researcher, told the Boston Globe, "You are going to start picking up Nature and Science and all the great journals, and you are going to read about how South Koreans and Chinese and Singaporeans are making advances the rest of us can't even study."